Hello, dear friends, and welcome back to the newest episode of Heartfelt Awkwards. This is an extra special episode because the pet killer that I mentioned from my previous episode is my guest star. It's my guest star for this episode, and please bear with us as we struggle through it because we were definitely the kids that could not look at each other while we were praying.
Oh, no.
Or getting in trouble or funerals, like any serious situation. Don't depend on us.
Wait, why am I the pet killer, though?
If you listen to my podcast, you would know.
Okay, I'll listen to it.
Okay, so please introduce yourself.
I am Allie, your older sister, favorite sister, first sister. I don't know. What do you want to know? What am I introducing? I'm a wife, okay. A mom.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you. So I am having her come on the podcast so that we can dive deep into whatever random subject happens to come up, but also about adoption. So let's get into it. I'm looking for my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where would you like to start? What would you like to start?
I don't know. So I was adopted when I was 10. That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Which I think actually a lot of people, when you hear somebody's adopted, they always think you were adopted as a baby.
Yeah.
When I tell people, they're always like, when I say I was 10, they're like, what? So that's, you know, important information that never comes.
That's really true. Like a lot of adoptions are babies.
Yeah. Which none of ours were in our family. So I don't know how, but yeah, most people adopt kids as babies, but I was 10. I don't know.
So one of the questions that I thought about is, just kind of starting at the beginning, from my perspective, it was definitely that I was a big fan of Barbies, an only child, very spoiled rotten, had the perfect life, and then you came along. And not a Barbie fan, baby fan, spoiler alert. I came to mom and dad and I told them, from my understanding, I really don't even remember a lot of this, but I came to them and I said something like, I really want a sibling. And mom had been told that if she got pregnant again, she'd have to choose between the baby or herself. And so they just decided not to have any more kids. And so when I told them that I wanted a sibling, they were like, we don't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And then they started looking into the process of adoption. And that's how... Mm-hmm. I don't know how, like, you specifically came into the picture.
Well, I don't know if you know her friend Angel, I think is her name. Do you know her?
I don't remember.
It's one of mom's friends. Her name was Angel. She was friends with the lady that had me at the time, Katrina. They were friends.
Oh,
and
okay.
So Angel knew that Katrina had this girl pretty much dumped on her.
Yeah.
Without a home.
What was, how did you end up in Katrina?
Okay, this might be a little confusing, but Katrina was my uncle's ex-wife's sister. yeah.
Okay.
And again, I was 10, and I think that like the ex came back when I was like 4, so I remember, you know, from when I was a little girl, we would go to her house, she was fun. I don't know why I was so close to her, because she was my uncle's ex-wife's sister, but I'm glad I was.
Yeah.
She was a great lady. So.
And she had other kids, right? She had biological children.
She had 3 sons. She had an older son who didn't even live with her when I was there, Ryan. And then Zach, he was sweet. He had Down syndrome. And then Dallin, who was, me and him were the exact same age. And then me, I don't know why she took me in. I should probably ask her that one day, but she did. Mm-hmm. I just remember asking to come live with her. I hated where I was at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was with her sister at the time, and I hated it.
And we don't have to, I don't want to get into the detail about it, but I just want to say, like, just to, like, establish that the reason that you were even looking for a new place to live was because your biological mother did have addiction struggles.
Oh, yeah. So that's a big part of the story. Yeah. So both of my parents were addicts. And according to like the law, like the court case and stuff that I read, I was abandoned. And actually I pretty much was. They were both heavily on drugs. I don't remember them ever taking care of me, actually, especially my birth mother. I don't remember a day she ever did, but, you know, yeah, they were around, in and out kind of thing. I remember spending a lot of time with, like, aunts and uncles and grandparents. Wow. Yeah, they were both addicts. She, thankfully, is sober now. She drinks occasionally, but she's off of the drugs, and I'm so grateful for that. He passed away 13 years ago, unfortunately, accidental overdose. So, yeah.
And her sober story is also super incredible, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to follow yeah. the line of events here. Yeah. So
stick with me. Stick with me. She can, okay. you can have her on if you want.
She can be on my next episode. Yeah. Okay. So from my perspective, what was happening is I was an only child, and I was looking for a sibling. Mm-hmm. Mom and Dad were looking into that. Meanwhile, you are a child raising yourself, not only yourself, but your younger biological brother as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
And then you had an older brother who was also yes. already going through it.
Yeah, I have an older brother, David, who is 8 years older than me. So, honestly, by the time I was born, I know he was already smoking pot. That was just how bad our his home life was.
Yeah. And old.
Then,
wow.
yeah. And then I had a little brother, Nathan,
yeah.
Who is 5 years younger than me. So, and yeah, I took care of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was his mother sure.
The movie Matilda really resonates with you.
Truly, truly. Yeah. I am Matilda. Yeah. He was my baby. My first one. That's what's wrong with him. Poor thing. He was and raised actually, by a five-year-old.
If we don't joke about it, we'll cry about it. So yeah. that's...
yeah.
I'm not, like, that cold-hearted. We've talked yeah, about yeah. this before. But yeah. I'm actually planning on having him on the podcast as well to kind of go over, like, mm. mental health in the military.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
so
one.
So,
yeah.
I'm excited to talk about that with him. Yeah. Working that out with him.
Yeah.
But, So, Katrina brings you in to her house, yeah. and she keeps you for how long?
Honestly, for whatever reason, I remember I, so let me go back then, because we're kind of with the siblings, right? Yeah. So, I was abandoned. David, so I was nine when everything really, like, went down with my family. My parents disappeared. I don't know where they went, honestly.
To this day.
Yeah, I don't know what exploded, but something did. They were gone. I was with my uncle full-time. And I didn't ask what happened. I didn't want to be with them. Nathan was with my biological dad. I don't know where she was, my biological mother. And David was probably in jail on the streets. I don't know. His story's worse than mine, honestly. He was abandoned at, like, 16. Just left to die, truly, to the streets. So everything... Everybody got separated, me, all my siblings, and not in an intentional way. It was just nobody, like, cared. It felt like just ran.
Yeah.
So I was with my uncle for whatever reason. He just, you know, couldn't take me, which is fine. So I went to live with my grandfather. I was nine. I went to live with my grandfather. I remember I turned 10 with him. The next thing I know, I'm with my uncle's ex-wife. I think I asked to go live with her because she just made I remember her telling me weird stuff like, oh, if you come live with me, you'll get your own room and own bathroom, and we're gonna go to the beach, and, like, making false promises to me, like, oh. Yeah, they, yeah. So I remember asking to go live with her, and I did, got with her, and it was just not what I thought it'd be. She had a son, my cousin, who was really mean. So I just hated my life there. It was awful. Got really close with her sister, Katrina, and that's how I ended up with Katrina.
Oh.
Told Katrina, like, look, I hate where I'm at. It's awful. Can I please come live with you? And she let me. People just were letting me make whatever decision, really.
So I think something you said right there is, like, a super important thing to focus on is the fact that you had family members that were conscientious enough of their own personal lives to say, like, they are not responsible enough to take you on I think that there's not enough focus in that just because you have the space
yeah.
or, like, the opportunity to take
yeah.
On
yeah.
an a child doesn't mean that you're necessarily the one to take on that specific child.
No. Yeah. That's why I, you know, for a while, I felt like I judged, like, my aunts and uncles a lot for not taking me, especially because my both sides of my blood relatives, they all have money, like, lawyers, family money, like, so money wasn't an issue. But now that I'm older and I'm an adult and I'm a mom and I've been through this process, I know that children who come from this situation need more than a roof over their head. They need someone who is willing to take on the burdens and the traumas. And children like me need a patience and love and grace and understanding, and we need a lot of time. We don't just need somebody putting a roof over our heads.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm honestly really grateful that none of them did that, because none of them were in the place to take me on. I was, you know, I was a lot.
Yeah.
I needed a lot.
Already been through so much trauma.
Yeah.
And you really needed somebody who was going to focus on you.
Yeah.
And your trauma and have an understanding of the way that that affects a child's brain so early. Mm-hmm.
And I've told my uncle recently, because he, especially, you know, as people get older, they kind of like look back on, they reflect a lot. Yeah. And so he oftentimes tells me now, every time I see him, I am so sorry that I didn't take you. And I have to tell him, like, please, you know, stop apologizing. First of all, it's not your responsibility.
Absolutely.
I don't, I'm not mad. Yeah. I understand why you wouldn't. I think it was an act of love to me that you wouldn't take me knowing I needed more than just a roof.
Yeah.
So,
like, adoption is so important.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not every,
you know, it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. No. Yeah. And so I think that that's a really cool part of your story, is like how frustrating it was to see, you know, some closed doors only to have the right ones opened.
Yeah, exactly. I was, you know, I ended up where I was meant to be, where God wanted me to be.
So at the time of you come into Katrina's house, and then our mom being friends with Katrina's friend, they were in talks about adopting you. And at that point, where were your younger brother and your older brother?
Honestly, David was either on the street, my older brother David, he was either on the streets or in jail. Nathan, he was either still with my biological dad or in foster care at this point. He did end up eventually going to foster care.
And so Nathan went to foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And then David was doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Your younger brother
yeah.
was in foster care. Your older brother was doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And how exactly was the process of you finding out that this random family you've never met before was interested in adopting you?
I just remember Katrina coming and telling me, you know, there's this family who's looking for a girl your age, and they have a girl themselves who would be younger than you. And I remember being so excited because I always wanted a sister. I had two brothers, one who was terrible. Not really. I adore them both. But, you know, David was, I don't know.
He was going through it.
He was going through it.
Yeah,
we were not close at the time. And then I had Nathan who, you know, who was my child. So, I never felt, I was so excited to have a sister.
And you weren't in contact with your younger brother or your older brother at the time, right?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
So they came to you, they said, this family has a little sister for you. And so you just said yes, or?
Yeah, I was really excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, then shortly after that, mm-hmm. we met you.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember, like, your initial thoughts after meeting, after meeting our family?
Yeah, of course. I remember thinking you looked like an elf. And you wouldn't stop trying to, like, hold my hand and stuff. And I was like, oh, no. Nothing's changed. Yeah, I remember that being my first thought. But still, like, I was like, okay, like, this is gonna be fine. And then I spent the night one weekend. Do you remember that? Before I came to, like, live. I spent the night one weekend.
Uh-huh.
And then it's, like, the next weekend I moved in. Which is crazy now.
Right. I was going to ask you, like, how terrifying was that experience for you to leave behind everything that you knew and move in with these complete strangers?
I'm 10 years old.
Yes.
Spent one weekend with you.
Yeah.
And then moved in. Right now I feel sick thinking about my daughter going through that. No, thinking about my child.
It's,
you know,
an absolutely terrifying.
Awful. It is awful thinking. But I remember being so, so sad and very upset. Not because of anything you or mom or dad did. It was, I was in a strange home. You know, but up until then, I'd been with like family or friends of family. I knew everybody I was with. I was never in a strange home. And this was the first time I was in a stranger's home. And it was supposed to be my home, you know?
Yeah. Were they initially asking you to call them mom and dad?
No. They had a conversation like, you don't have to call me Eric, call me Sherry. Yeah.
And what's crazy is, like, at that point, you had already gone through so much trauma. You weren't even a child anymore. Like,
no.
Physically, you were, but mentally, you had already raised one child, and your childhood was gone. And that's a horrible, horrible thought. And what makes me feel terrible is in the same time that you were dealing with these huge emotions, I genuinely don't remember anything but excitement and thinking like, oh, my sister's here. Like, automatically, like, I think the night that I met you, I was like, you are my sister. Like, I was super intense about it. I was 7 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that I was, like, super intense. Like, you are my sister. Yeah. And you, I mean, I didn't even know what adoption was. I didn't even understand.
You thought mom and dad probably basically bought you a sister.
I think, like, genuinely, I believe that they went to the same store for me that they did for you, like a pet store, but it was like a kid's store.
Probably. I mean, I think your age, why not? I know. What did they tell you? Like, did they tell you my story, or they just said, hey, this girl needs a home?
Like, some of the stuff that you told me just now is stuff that I've heard for the first time, genuinely.
That's crazy.
They were very closed-lipped about a lot of the details and just basically like explained it almost like Santa with Christmas, just, hey, your sister's coming, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And that was it. I remember they did take me to therapy. Were you a part of this?
I remember going to therapy.
See, the timeline's like a little jacked up for me.
Me too.
But they did take us to therapy, and it was like kids therapy, so we like colored and played with Mr. Potato Head, and she was like, do you like your sister? And I was like, yeah, and I don't know.
She's so fun.
But like the moment for me that I was like, take her back, we've made a mistake, is when I found out that you played with babies and not Barbies.
No, you're mistaken though. No, you're right, but I had Barbies and loved them, but I did not take them out of their boxes. I did not mess up their hair. I did not take off their clothes.
Oh my gosh.
I remember you had 200 Barbies and they were all butt naked.
I had 400.
Crazy hair, and it drove me insane. I collected Barbies.
They needed haircuts. Okay, I'm not getting in this with you right now. Okay, so, so you're in the house, you're adopted. Do you remember the point where you started to feel a connection with anybody in the family? Do you remember that being like a moment, or do you think it was more gradual?
I can't think of that at the moment, but I can think of all the times I felt disconnected, and I do remember that eventually fading, like the disconnect. And I think I started to feel more connected once mom and dad started bringing in more adopted children.
So that was actually going to be my next question is, at what point, because like this whole time you're thinking about your younger brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking about your older brother too, but he at this point is an adult he's doing adult things.
Yeah.
And, so your younger brother is still in the foster care system at this point.
Yeah.
And so do you remember like what the process was with that? Did you bring him up? Did they bring him up and say, what do you think about us taking in your younger brother? Like, what was the conversation there?
Well, I mean, I remember telling mom and dad, like, I have a little brother. I would love for, you know, to have him back with me. I remember all that. And, you know, Nathan, so again, he was my child from the day he was born, but he was still my baby brother by all means. And I would I saw him one time when he was with his foster family, and I was with Katrina and in Kmart. And, and he wasn't even in kindergarten. He was much younger, was devastated that he couldn't come with me. I mean, devastated. And I just remember that really killing me too. So I, you know, I felt like nobody really cared about him that I was with, but it wasn't their place to. So anyways, I get to Mom and Dad, and I remember telling them, like, look, I have this little brother and love him. You know, I know he really misses me, kind of thing. But he was in foster care. Honestly, it was out of Mom and Dad's hands at that time. And I know that the family he was with was looking to adopt him at the time.
Yeah.
So.
And so you had brought it up to Mom and Dad. And at that point, they started looking into it. And I remember the first time I remember meeting him was at a baseball game. He was playing baseball. And he was about 6 years old when we were looking into adopting him. Is that your collection as well? So I remember that. And then they picked him up from daycare. And
oh, my gosh.
He said, can I call you Dad now?
Dad, yeah.
To our dad. And
literally said, can I call you Dad?
Yeah, like the second time he met him. And that was
He's
it.
Such an angel.
He was he was in the family, and that was it. And he got on my last freaking nerves from that point on.
y'all fought like cats and dogs.
But he was also, like, I feel like it was a pretty instant connection for him.
I feel like
as
y'all
well.
Were best friends, truly.
And so with him, I think he also felt instantly connected, but again, like, the both of us were a lot younger and probably wasn't as aware of his trauma, although he does say that he experienced some in his foster home.
But yeah, he definitely felt immediately connected. So I remember always feeling disconnected, but then I remember it feeling more of like a connection once more kids started coming into the more adopted kids started coming into the picture.
So at that point, it was the three of us, me, you, and our younger brother, Nate. And then a few years later, I can't remember like the exact amount of years, but our little sisters came along. It was a friend of a friend situation. Yeah. At that point, I think people were approaching Mom and Dad and saying, hey, these kids need a home.
Here's more.
And that was never really Mom and Dad's goal that they set out to say, we're going to be that family to adopt a bunch of kids. But like, that was just the path that they ended up down. Mm-hmm. And so we met Gabby and Stephanie, and they were 3 and 4 years old.
Yeah.
When we met them. And what was that like from your perspective, just having them come in? Because, like, Nathan, you were familiar with. Like, you knew him. That was your brother. And at that point, you had started getting adjusted to me.
Yeah.
You know, you and I had bonded. The three of us had become quite the unit.
Yeah.
And then Gabby and Steph come along. What was that like for you?
Well, again, it's just like you said, it felt like the natural family. Mom, Dad, me, you, and Nathan. So then when Gabby and Stephanie came, it was kind of like, oh, we're the family and you guys are now the adopted kids. Not that I ever thought I was. Like, I always knew I was adopted, but that's what I mean by it felt more. I felt connected once more kids started coming. Like, I wasn't the black sheep anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it took you a shorter or longer amount of time with Gabby and Stephanie than it did, like, connecting with me? Because how old were you at that point when they came into the family? How old were we?
Probably, like, I don't know.
They were 3 and 4, so you're how? What's the age difference?
I think we're, like, me and Stephanie are 10 years apart.
Okay, so yeah, you were like a teenager when they came in, pretty much.
Yeah.
So
I was 13, 14 years old, I mean, you know, they were just cute, like cute little 3-year-olds. Felt like having Barbie dolls.
So, and then after Gabby and Stephanie, who are biological sisters, the two of them are biological sisters, not to any of us, but to each other, came into the picture. Then a few years later, we adopted my biological cousin, who became our brother.
brother cousin.
And that was a super messy and complicated situation because his biological family was still involved, and all of the biological families have now become a part of the picture for the most part. At least one parent is involved with each of the adopted kids, which is definitely not a average story. It's definitely not the typical thing to have that relationship. And I know that was a big adjustment as well, is balancing out the relationship of biological parents and your adoptive parents. What would you say was like the biggest adjustment for you coming into the family, though, focusing on your adoption story, like just coming in from floating house to house in familiar places to this unknown new family with their very set, strict rules? Because mom and dad were very much the structured household type, and they very much had a way about in which they did things. And so what was the biggest adjustment for you?
Having parents was very hard for me. And not even specifically having a mom was very hard for me. Even just that word is kind of a trigger for me, because my relationship with my biological mom was very toxic. I hated her guts. So the whole mom dynamic was just tainted from a very early age. I did not want a mother. And, you know, mom is mom, who's like, hi, I'm your mom now. And I'm like, no, you're not. Like,
and you and our younger brother, Nate, both, had a very strong dislike towards your biological mother because of the trauma that she put both of you through at such a young age and forced you both to grow up so quickly. So for a long time there was a lot of anger towards her. And do you remember at what moment you felt like you could kind of let go of that a little bit, or do you feel like you've let go of it?
Yes, I've let go. I will say I still struggle. She's not my mom to me. She's more of a friend. We have a relationship. I love that we have a relationship. I love seeing, you know, this side of her and get to know her, but I still, like, she'll never be my mom. And I mean that just, she'll never be my mom to me. I'm not like, oh, let me call my mom, you know, kind of thing. I see her more as a friend, and honestly I feel more nurturing towards her than she is to me. And same with her. I feel like she would agree. She doesn't mother me at all.
And at what point did you start forming a relationship reaching out to your bio parents?
So, I remember wanting to in high school. I don't remember. I want to say it might have been my senior year. Maybe not. I started, like, asking questions, saying I wanted to, like, reach out to them. I was ready. I don't remember why. I wish I could remember why. But I just remember being ready, and not necessarily her, actually, now going back. I wanted nothing to do with her. It was him that I wanted to see, and he ended up coming to my graduation and my after-graduation party. I don't know if you remember that. He was there. But, no, I did not want her there at all. And she told me, actually, recently that whenever somehow somebody reached out to them and said, hey, you know, Allie wants you guys to come to your graduation, they misunderstood that I wanted him there and not her. And so she said my biological dad actually had to come back to her and say, just kidding, she doesn't want you there. And she said it broke her heart.
I imagine so. Yeah. At that point, they were both sober. Is that correct?
No, he was never sober.
Yeah. I didn't know if, like, at that point in his...
No, he wasn't. So that's what I mean. I don't know why him and not her. But I never had a bad relationship with him, in my opinion, other than the fact that, you know, he was an addict. I never felt like I couldn't stand him or something. Like I could her. I would just really hated her. I remember wishing she would die at one point. That's how much I just didn't like her. And I never felt that way about him. I always adored him. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how do you feel like your, how do you feel like the adoption has kind of shaped your path?
Honestly, you know, I always felt like, I don't know why this happened to me. I don't know why my childhood was so hard, because it was so hard. Not only, you know, my early childhood, but also my, you know, once I was adopted, and that was also really hard. And I tell everybody all the time, you could not pay me to be a child / teenager ever again. I would take being an adult every day. And then my children were born, and I honestly feel like I make mistakes. I'm not a perfect mom, but I don't think that I would value my children and their childhood and be the mom that I am today without my past. I know that that is why, you know, God made that plan for me.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. And you feel like, I feel like it's probably going to make you, like, more understanding about mm-hmm. some of the struggles that they go through.
Yeah.
And I know, like, already, it's not an accident that you have close family, your older brother, mm-hmm. but also your sister-in-law, mm-hmm. who struggle heavily with addiction.
Yeah.
To the point that it's affected both of their kids. Yeah. And so, I don't feel like it's accidental that you are involved in their lives.
No. And that's kind of, I mean, because I have such a huge story, like my childhood and stuff, you know, it's kind of like, okay, what do I do with all this? I have, like, a rare story, you know, do I help children? Do I help addicts? But I've always felt more of the pull with the my heart is with addicts, so I don't know. It's honestly something I pray about, how to get involved with that, all that stuff. We'll see. Who knows?
And so, while we mentioned earlier about, you know, that adopting is not for everybody. So, yeah. I just wanted to see how you personally felt about adoption.
So, I will never say never.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now, no. Just because, like I said, I feel like children with the background like that I have or whatever, children that come from these terrible situations, they need a lot more than like I said, just a roof over their head. They need someone who is going to be patient with them, try to help them the best they can, forgive them, give them grace, and I can't pour into someone else's cup that mine's not really full. You know, I'm still struggling with my personal things.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I would be good for a child. I feel like children deserve better than me, these children. And two, this is going to sound really selfish. This has been my life, my whole life. Quite frankly, I'm tired of it. Like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And I kind of just want to enjoy a childhood.
Yeah. Because you never really got
to. No, I've never. So,
and
again, that's really selfish, but it's okay.
No.
And that is the reason, I wouldn't bring a child.
And I think that's so beautiful that you get to be a mom now and you get to be a child mm-hmm. with your children and with my kids sometimes.
Yeah.
You're a child with them. And it is so beautiful to get to kind of heal your inner child with your children.
Exactly.
And also in a way, like, not necessarily healing, but avoiding them from having to heal at least those specific parts of them and their childhood. And I think that's wonderful. And also being able to, like, recognize, like, some people never heal from their trauma,
mm-hmm.
and you are actively trying to heal from your trauma in healthy ways, and you're breaking mm-hmm. and already have broken mm-hmm. generational curses that have followed your parents mm-hmm. and your siblings.
My siblings, right.
Yeah. And so I think that that is very admirable, and that's something worth mentioning because mm-hmm. it's not like it was just easy for you to fall down this path of, you know, graduating from mm-hmm. high school, mm-hmm. getting a career, becoming a mom, and all these things that you've pursued didn't just fall into your lap, and they're not easy accomplishments.
No, yeah.
Because anybody can, like, have a kid, mm-hmm. but it is very different to be a mother.
Oh, yeah, it's hard work, and it's kind of off subject, but not, but going back to, like, addicts, you know, someone I know recently relapsed after having a child, and so that's what I'm, you know, it's, having children is just, it's hard, so, yeah, it's not an easy job.
So, what qualities do you feel like you possess that are most like your bio parents? And what qualities do you possess that you feel like are most like your adopted parents?
Oh, my word. So, from my biological mother, nothing. Isaac said I clean like a freak like her. So... apparently I got my cleanliness from her.
I don't know about her, but I can say you are a clean freak for sure.
And she is a clean freak.
Sharing a room with you.
I'm such a clean freak. Yeah. My biological dad, I don't know. I didn't get to know him well enough.
Yeah.
Of course I know like a lot of stories of him and all that stuff. So I honestly don't know. I would like to know. Like I maybe should ask somebody.
Yeah.
That knew him and knows me. What am I like, mom and dad? I don't know. I truly don't know. I have no idea.
You were supposed to read over these questions. I did. You're still not prepared.
I said I wasn't taking notes. Well, you tell me. Do you see mom or dad in me?
I just thought about the questions. I didn't think about the answers.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you've always been momly. Mom is very momly.
She is.
Like, that sounds so dumb, but, like, I feel like somebody...
Yeah, she's such a mom.
Who you can look at as a kid and just say they're going to grow up and be a mom, and that's going to be their thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're very momly.
Yeah.
You're, like, the most, loyal to the siblings and always there for the siblings.
Oh, yeah. I'll kill for them.
Okay. So I think that my last official list question would be having children of your own. How has that kind of changed your perspective on everything?
Oh, my word. It's changed.
Such a broad question.
It is, because it just... You know, I don't know if you feel this way, but before I had kids, I would say stuff or, like, judge other moms about how they mommed.
Absolutely.
Right, and I'd be like, my kids wouldn't do that. And then once I had kids, all that went, everything changed, every idea I had, every, like...
So yeah. Humbled. A 4-year-old yeah. will humble you like that. Like, yeah. You will think, I got it together, and then... The 4-year-old will let you know.
Yeah.
And even going from one kid to two is a world changer.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. You know, for my kids, I want them, which we kind of said, I want them to enjoy childhood. I also want them to trust me. I want them to tell me every single thing and know that I will never judge them or never stop loving them or... I want them to trust me. That's really big to me.
Yeah.
And so that's something I'm still dealing with, because, you know, how do you establish the I'm the parent, you're the child respect?
Oh my gosh, yes.
But also, please know you can tell me anything that, like, and I'm not going to judge you.
So yeah.
That's really important to me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I have taken up so much more of your time than I initially intended. Sorry about that. Sorry to my listeners for having to listen to this extra long podcast, if you listen to it, or maybe just my
husband
and me.
How long are your episodes?
Like 15 minutes, maybe. I don't know. I don't have an average. I feel like the last several were like 15 minutes, and then the one before that was 30 minutes.
20 minutes ago.
So then this is going to be the, like, bonus blooper scenes. Okay, wait, keep it together. We've been so professional. Okay, so.
Professional. Oh, my word.
Okay.
I can't.
So I really genuinely want to tell you thank you so much for coming on here and talking about some of this stuff. I actually learned some new stuff from you, which was super fun. I've only known you for, like... a long time.
That, yeah.
I don't want to talk about it, but a long time. And
ew, 21 years.
You're 21 years. Okay, so I just want to tell you thank you so You're much welcome. For coming on here yeah, and being so authentic and genuine and sharing some of this and opening up about it.
Yeah, I'll definitely be listening to this episode.
And cringing. Okay.
Holy crap, yeah.
Okay. Well.
Good night. Let me.
I forgot how I end these podcasts. People, how do I end it? Okay.
I think you sink. Who are you talking to?
The people. They want to know.
You, Addie.
Okay. Kyle. And also hit up my Facebook to let me know how to edit podcasts. Okay. Have a good night. It's under Heartfelt Awkwards. That's my page on Facebook.
That's
okay.
Not the podcast you sent me. Okay.
That's.
No, the one.
Okay. Good night. Good night.